kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
If your asshole is low-key lit AF, fam.
Keeping that in. What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm talking about lit AF assholes, so I guess I'm doing fine.
Yes, you are. Laughing in the background. Aki's here again this week. Aki, how are ya?
Well, I'm alive, so pretty good, I think. Probably.
Is your asshole low-key lit AF, fam?
I don't think it's low-key, but yeah.
Is it well-lit as well?
Do you have a high-key well-lit asshole?
High-key badly lit.
This show's off to a bad start.
I would argue that this is off to the best of starts.
I'm with Cole on this one.
I'm calling this one low.
No time, that's my emote too. I forgot. F.
Everyone has your emotes. Everyone sub to you.
Because they're lovely emotes. Nobody gives a fuck about what I stream. Nobody watches me stream.
Bullshit.
They come by and sub while I'm not there.
Bullshit.
I get the emails like at 2 a.m. so-and-so subbed. And I was like, but I'm not live. It's just for the emotes, and I don't blame them.
Oh, come on. When you stream, you're definitely live at 2 a.m. Don't lie to us.
Okay, 2 a.m. I am live. When I get the ones at 8 a.m., I'm not live.
Okay, I believe you on that.
I take that back. 2 a.m., I'm awake. 8 a.m., maybe, maybe not. I was half asleep when no time slept. That's my standard. Fuck, that reminds me, I didn't take my shot yet. It's just sitting here. We got a choice. I can do it live or I can do it after.
I got an email from eBay today about a DVD that I apparently purchased while I was out on Ambien, I think. So it's fun when you do that and you don't remember.
My sister's like, you should ask for Ambien because you don't ever sleep. I was like, no, I'm good with my schedule. It works. I do all my best dick drawing at 4 a.m.
Oh, my Lord. Everyone does the craziest things at 4. When do you think, like, what time of day was it that Phil Spencer was like, yo, Bethesda, let's do this? Because we should get to the news of the week. Definitely. The big news of the week, mm-hmm. Monday, right before pre-orders were to go live for the Series X on Tuesday, Monday, the bombshell of bombshells, Microsoft is buying Bethesda for $7.5 billion.
Not just Bethesda. Like, Bethesda ZeniMax is like the cherry on top of a whole lot of studios.
Yeah,
here.
ZeniMax. Sure. They're buying ZeniMax. So that includes Bethesda, id, Tango Gameworks, Arcane, Machine Games. What the hell else is there? There's that, like, the one phone studio, like Alpha Dog or something, mm-hmm. whatever it is. They bought, like, everything. They bought ZeniMax.
Yeah.
So they... Holy shit.
They have well-lit assholes.
Yeah. This was shocking news. The craziest thing is Xbox plans to honor the exclusivity of Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo. Which,
that's respectable, though.
That is respectable. And it basically confirms that, yes, we are getting those games eventually.
Yeah. And on Game Pass, day one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, fuck, yeah. I'm not mad. I find it respectable. We all know I hate exclusivity. Mm-hmm. And I
hate third-party exclusivity. I'm very clear on that. First-party is good for building business. Third-party is where I hate it.
I can be a little more tolerant of first-person exclusivity. I don't like it. I don't lack the premise of just you bought one box, you can't play anything. You know, no. I understand why it's a business thing and it has to be done. It's just I'm more like, oh.
I accept timed exclusives. I hate any.
Speaking
other
the mic, Aggie. Time.
Stop. I like. Stop laying back and talking like this.
No comment on what I was doing. Yeah, I don't mind timed exclusives, but I don't particularly like any of the rest of them. The rest of them kind of irritate me. And I always liken it back to fucking DVDs and Blu-rays. If you buy a DVD player from one company, you can't just play only these certain types of fucking DVDs. Mm-hmm. You can play all the DVDs, and I think games should be the same way. I get why Sony...
I would love to see a universal, unified game system, but we're never going to be there.
Probably not, but I would love that one day. Just to be able to play fucking whatever would be just great.
Yeah, play Smash Brothers, hit the home button, go fire up Last of Us, hit the home button, fire up Halo Infinite. I would love that.
Yeah, that's something I've always wanted. I just think of it this way. Yes, it's a great way to get people to buy your console. However, you can sell it to more fucking people if you don't put it on just one console, and that's better for everybody involved, because, you know, maybe you'll get a million sales on your console, but you'll probably still get those even if you put it on two consoles, but you'll get maybe another half a million on the other one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think it's a better idea just to make them all universal, but
Microsoft did say that, you know, aside from Deathloop and Ghostwire, future Bethesda ZeniMax games will be released on Xbox, PC, and, quote, other consoles on a case-by-case basis.
Which, so, again, I think is really respectable.
Yeah, that they're even acknowledging that they could release stuff on other platforms. I know Jacob was joking around. He's like, watch them just release stuff on the Switch and just flip the bird to Sony. Which I think would be hilarious.
I can't
be
mad if they do it, even though I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I could understand the reasoning why it would happen.
There's just two things I want to happen from this acquisition. One, I want them to fire Todd, because
that's not happening.
Yeah.
I know that'll never happen.
I'm sure he's a big reason why this happened.
Do you know that he has a 1,000 gamer score achievement that only he can get?
Mm-hmm.
It's in a game that was made just for him.
Yep.
And he's the only person with the code.
Yep.
And all he had to do was launch it, and he got the achievement.
And it's not on true achievements, so right. No one else could even track it. That's no fun.
Now I want to know what the hell this game is, because I don't.
It's not an actual game. It's just like the day one achievement. Remember that thing that came with the day one Xbox One systems? You would scan it on your Kinect, and you got a day one achievement.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about that either. Goddamn!
Did you not have day one editions?
Uh-uh.
Oh, no. Well, there you go. I did. I suck it. I was a day one.
I got an elite right before the fucking Slims came out.
Mm.
So, yeah. And the other thing I hope that happens with this acquisition is they stop using that fucking buggy piece of shit goddamn engine and they fucking use something fucking else. So fucking tired of that goddamn engine. I like fucking Elder Scrolls and Fallout. Jesus Christ. Oh, it makes me angry.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're going to see so many more games on that engine. You know it.
I really hope not. I hope they just are like, no, make a new fucking engine that actually works, or use a different fucking engine. I don't care what, just something else. I'm tired of all my games being buggier than fuck.
But yeah, Microsoft buying ZeniMax. That is massive news. I think this is a huge reason why the Series X and Series S pre-sold the way that they did on Tuesday, because Microsoft said that they sold beyond their expectations. They shattered their internal records, whatever records they had. It was the number one item on Amazon, obviously.
Even in Japan, it sold out in like 12 minutes.
In Japan?
Wait, what? Mm-hmm. No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Holy yeah, pre-order God. Sold out in 12 to 17 minutes, depending on the site. Huh. Under 20. Yeah.
I never would have thought that that would have ever happened.
Although I think they're doing it like mostly X's in America and mostly S's in Japan.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
I don't know how Europe and the rest of the world are going to be, but I know my GameStop, they had 8 X's and 2 S's. So that shows the ratio of consoles that we're getting.
Rootbeer says he's looking forward to buying Skyrim yet again on a new gen. Well, hey,
maybe it'll have smart delivery.
Because it'll be on Game Pass.
Skyrim on Game Pass is going to be pretty nice.
The moment I told David, excuse me, I have a hiccup, something awful right now. Oh, geez. The moment I told David that Xbox bought Bethesda, he goes, so you downloaded Skyrim for me, right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, because it's on Game Pass. I was like, it's not that fast. He's like, well, what did you tell me until it's on Game Pass? I have refused this entire generation. We bought it twice, and I refused to buy it again. And I'm just like, absolutely fucking not. I don't care how much you like it.
I bought one copy of it, and after I kept hearing how often it was, every time it was sold on a new console, I was just like, this makes me want to play this less and less and less, because I'm so fucking tired of hearing about the goddamn thing. I still haven't played it.
That's kind of how I feel about it. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
I've had it on 360. I got it on Xbox One. I got it on PlayStation VR, and I got it on Switch, and I have it on Steam.
What is wrong with you?
Everything.
Do you have it on I can agree with that. Refrigerator?
No, I don't have an we don't have a smart fridge yet.
Do you have an Alexa?
No.
Because you have it on there too. Oh.
No, we don't have an Alexa. We just have our Kinect. Xbox, I love you. I love you too.
And I'm sure whoever's listening and on the other side loves you too.
That's yeah.
No, corporate overlords, we love you. Bought Skyrim last month and he hadn't played it yet, so it'll be on Game Pass soon.
Coming to Game Pass soon, October 1st, Doom Eternal.
Yeah. I love the way that they announced this. Did you see the tweet?
Yeah.
From the Game Pass account? And mm-hmm. they were like, there's no hints in this at all, but like the first letter of every sentence spelled out, look below. And then you had to like change the contrast of the image, and it said the Slayer is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cool to see people going through that and like gradually figuring it out. And it was really awesome.
Yeah. Like when Microsoft does their teases like that.
I love the Melissa McGame Pass emails. They tickle me so much because they go through so much effort to hide so many little details in there. And it's just like, oh, man, the creativity just oozes out of something so simple. And it's just marketing. But man, they do a good job.
Yeah, they're having fun. Speaking of them having fun with their image, did you see that they're on TikTok now?
That was funny.
And their first TikTok was them like, oh, should we show off a video of the Series S? And then they scrolled through like a few hundred memes of just different, like someone holding the Series X like a bazooka, or like, you know, all the speaker memes for the Series S. And I was like, oh no, here it is. Or should we show a video of the Series X? Vote below or some shit like that. They're having fun with it. So something that is not fun. They confirmed the price of the expansion cards.
Did they?
$219.99.
Oof.
For suddenly one triple dip.
Still cheap.
Yeah. Oof.
$220 for
a triple bop. I was really pulling for it to be in the $120 range, and I was gone to bat over that shit. I really thought it would be. That's disappointing, especially when you consider it's almost the same price as the Series S.
I was expecting $180.
You know, yeah.
And I'm let down.
I wonder if the whole trade war thing has something to do with that.
I don't know.
All PC components are fucking high right now. I wonder how much, like, tariffs and shit. Oh, God, between allergies and hiccuping, Jesus, I'm a mess. But I wonder how much tariffs and shit are playing into that cost being so high.
I don't know, but you know, they had a partner with Seagate, so you know, yeah. Seagate's name has to jack up the price there, and the that's, official and branding has to jack up the price.
That's the thing, like, there will be third party cards. That's eventually inevitable.
We don't know when.
Yeah.
It could be months. It could be years. We don't know. How many third-party Vita memory cards are there?
I don't know. Nobody gave a fuck about the Vita, though.
A lot of people gave a fuck. The only Nobody people who didn't a give a fuck about the Vita was Sony. Gamers gave a fuck about the Vita because the Vita is a great system. Sony gave up on it.
Kind of like the Kinect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will go to bat for the Vita. The Vita is unfairly vilified. It is a banging system. Oh, yeah. Sony hater, right?
What I can't wait to find out is whether or not I can pull the same stunt that I pulled with the 360. I literally bought a laptop hard drive and just put some black tape on the end to make a pull tab so I could pull it out when I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And just dropped it down into the little bay and click, there it went.
The only problem is you couldn't play backward compatible games that way.
I didn't have any, so I didn't know that. Yeah.
Original Xbox games, there was like some kind of special partition on the Microsoft created hard drives that isn't there on, you know,
other hard drives. I don't know if I've ever told the story about our first Xbox, but we had the original Xbox. We bought it off of eBay and we kept it for a week. And then we sold it again. And I didn't even get to power it up. David was just like, I don't like it. And sold it. And I was like, fuck.
I just bought one off of Mercari.
It wasn't until the 360 that we like, he hit Team Xbox. And then I was just like, okay, this is where I am. This works. And
backward compatibility. You got some games you could play at least.
Now. But, yeah.
But yeah, I just ordered an original Xbox off of that Mercari site for $70. It's a modded one with a 250 gig SSD.
We bought at the time.
An original Xbox with a 250 gig SSD in it.
That's nuts.
Yeah, for $70.
The SSD inside is worth $70 by itself.
I know. I can't wait for this fucking thing to come in. It's shipped. It should be here tomorrow. I'm pumped.
Damn.
I just don't have any controllers. I have to wait for those to come too. The listing, it's like, it's just the system. And I'm like, for $70, okay, I'll take it. Yeah. But what's there? Because it's loaded with games too, obviously. I'll probably delete most of them.
I will absolutely be the dumbass that sits here with some electrical tape and a $50 NVMe drive trying to fit it in the slot. If it works, I'll let you know.
But just duct tape it in there.
I would not be the first time.
Make it work.
That shit. No, you can't use duct tape when it's electrical. You can't use black tape. It's electrical tape. God, Joe, it's like you don't even know anything about tech.
I don't. I think that's very clear. Some more bad news for the world. The Rock Band 3 export is expiring on December 1st. So if you don't have it, get it now.
Okay.
$15 gets you 83 songs for Rock Band 4. If you have any interest in Rock Band, you should look into getting this export because once it's gone, it's gone.
That's a bummer for Rock Band. You. Fans. Yeah.
It's a bummer for Joe. Bummer
for I already have the songs. So.
It's not even a bummer for Joe.
Yeah.
So it's a bummer for like maybe two other people who haven't ever thought to do this.
Hey, there's some people out there. There's some streamers I see that don't have the Rock Band export.
Well, they better now.
They better hurry the fuck up because once it's gone, there's a lot of good songs in Rock Band 3 too. So... speaking of games with the number 3 in it, the latest game, the latest update for Super Mega Baseball 3 on September 29th will be adding cross-platform play across Xbox, Switch, PS4, and PC. So cross-platform play for Super Mega Baseball.
Not bad.
Good shit there. Maneater is going to be getting a free Series X and PS5 upgrade that includes 4K 60 frames per second gameplay, ray tracing, DualSense support on the PS5, and quote, more.
Do you hear that, Control?
Yeah, no
Do
shit.
Do you hear that?
Dickheads.
Man Eater's so good. I'm glad that it's getting the upgrade. Because I benefit, because I have it.
Yeah. It sucks that Devil May Cry isn't a free upgrade. That's a big bummer.
I'm not surprised, though. Devil May Cry, pretty much, that's doing the whole special edition thing is their bread and butter. No. They do it with all of them. So
it would have been nice to see it get
it would have been smart nice, delivery. But I'm also like, well, that's exactly what I expected them to do, so I can't be mad.
I think the big difference is there's new content in Special Edition compared to Control, where that's it's true. Literally just the same game.
That is true.
So, I don't know. PS4 gamers finally get to check out Bless Unleashed, which is going to be releasing October 22nd over there.
Okay.
So people could give that a go.
Then they can get annoyed that they never get the wolf to spawn at the beginning. Because everybody else beats it before they get there.
Yeah.
Not salty.
I can tell. Last bit of news I have is that Square Enix announced that Nier Replicant version, whatever the hell number it is, will be releasing on PS4 and Xbox One April 22nd and on Steam on the 24th.
Okay. There cannot wait for that one. Yeah, plenty of people excited about that. I played Nier Automata, but the only thing I could tell you about Nier Automata was the robot Romeo and Juliet scene. And that was the only thing about the game that I gave a fuck about.
A2 is the best.
So I'm just like, yeah, I don't even remember who that is.
Yeah, that was the long-haired one who wore very little.
Yeah, they Nier Replicant is little. Weird. The original Nier is weird because there were two versions, a PS3 version and an Xbox version, Nier Replicant and Nier Gestalt or something like that. And when they brought it to America, they only brought the PlayStation version over.
Color me surprised.
Or no, they brought the Xbox version, and this is the first time we're getting they brought one version, this is the first time we're getting the other version.
Oh, okay.
So whichever, I'm too stupid to remember details. I think we've covered that on the show before.
Too stupid, too high, it could be either one.
Flip a coin, whatever you want to pick. Whatever you want to pick. Oh, yeah, that's the news I got. Anything any of y'all want to talk about?
Left 4 Dead 2 got a motherfucking PC update today.
It did.
Yeah. It's new content, too.
Wait, what?
It's community-made content that got sanctioned by Valve, and they allowed it to be released as an official DLC.
Huh.
Yeah.
Does it add achievements?
It's not on Xbox. It's only on Steam.
Yeah.
I specifically said PC. Probably. I don't know. I didn't look.
Still achievements.
Achievements. Nobody cares about Steam achievements.
I do when it's on good games.
Oh my God.
Left 4 Dead is good.
Left 4 Dead is incredible. And it's almost cruel for them to do this because I would give anything for a Left 4 Dead 3. A bona fide Left 4 Dead 3. And it will never happen.
Well, yeah, that's because they don't know how to count to fucking 3. I mean, realistically, look at everything. And
go to 4.
Left 4 Dead Alex. It's VR.
It would be VR, and I'd be fucked anyway.
It would have to be Left 4 Dead Zoe, because Zoe's the best.
The funny thing is that as long as it's been since Left 4 Dead came out, there are still things from it that I quote regularly.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I do it just habitually. And then every now and then somebody will be like, that's from Left 4 Dead. And I'll be like, I know, right? It's a shame.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's the news. Anything else? Nothing else? Nothing? Are we just diving right into reviews?
Diving in.
All right. First game is Ragnorium, developed by Vitaly Kirpu, published by Devolver Digital, released September 16th on Steam Early Access for $24.99. Ragnorium is a planet recolonization simulator where players are tasked with leading clone colonists in a self-sustainable settlement while attempting to survive the oncoming Holy Crusade. Cole, tell us about this one.
Before I tell you anything about this game, I'm going to preface all of this by saying, this game is a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay.
When you start this game, you are in control of recolonizing the this planet. I don't know if there's different planets. I never survived long enough to see anyone other than the one I was on. I don't know if that's the future update or something, or maybe I'm just, I died too much. But you are in control of colonizing the planet. And the way that you do this is that it's like a, it's a top down, I don't know. What's that weird, awkward camera angle that's like in between top down and isometric, where it's never quite either or?
I would just say isometric.
Yeah. It's not like, it doesn't feel turned enough to officially be isometric, but I guess you could say it's isometric. But it's that kind of camera angle, like if you were playing a simulator like Zoo Tycoon or Roller Coaster Tycoon or something like that. You have to start by building your ship. This game is complicated as fuck, okay? This is going to be the most long-winded, complicated thing I've talked about since, like, Call of Duty, and I'm still going to be trying to do it as fast as I can. So you have to build your ship. Your ship needs to have basics on it, right? It's pretty point-and-click, but as you advance and you level up, you get to unlock additional stuff. So you can make it complicated as fuck when you get to that point. You have a certain amount of points that you can use to put into your ship, so you need to use those wisely. You need to have a whole piece, and those have extra slots for modules. And of course, the more advanced you get, the bigger your whole pieces can be, the more modules it can carry. If you start off like a bum, you got just like basic module for a clone pod and equipment box, right?
Okay.
So you can build up your ship for as many, you know, add as many pods and hulls and intersections and stuff to it as you can for what points you've got. Once you build it, you got to populate it. Ever how many clone pods you've got, you get to put a clone in. You have a little bit of say over what the clones that you produce to put in the pods. Like, they'll have different perks and mood traits and qualities. You have a little bit of say in there. In the beginning, you don't have shit. You can choose male and female. And you need to plan accordingly because you're trying to repopulate. Don't send all dudes. Don't send all females. You ain't making no babies that way.
if they have enough tech that they can fucking...
Don't have that kind of tech, because they have so little tech that they will get upset when they're on the planet that their genitals are exposed. And you have to... I literally had one moping around refusing to work because his nuts were hanging out. It was so ridiculous, but it was this kind of stuff that hooked me into this game that I was just like, I hate it and love it at the same time. From a practical gameplay standpoint, I'm like, are you really going to make me stop everything to go pick you some leaves so that you can have a skirt around your nuts? And the answer was, yes, I had to stop everything. Go shake a tree to get some leaves, to take the crafting table, to craft a skirt, to go around his nuts, so that he would finally get up and go stomp on the poop before it attracted flies.
Wow.
There's so much you have to pay attention to, because you're trying to really build the population back from nothing. So you need to collect trees and wood and resources, and you've got to manage them. You got to have places for them. I got tickled because for all the ones bitching about his nuts, I zoom in on him a little later, and he's just decided that he's like king of the wood, and he has a branch hat that he made for himself. And I'm like, what are you doing?
The hell?
We were supposed to be carrying branches back to the base so we could build a crafting table, and you're over here making yourself a hat.
He's a hippie. Leave the hippie alone. And peace and just love, man.
And then, like, I don't know why, but I became incredibly attached to the shenanigans of this one particular clone. And I've never been so heartbroken as to when he dies because he decides he's going to go and run off to save somebody who had sent on another mission and they'd done a dumb. And he was like, never mind, I've got stimulants. And he goes after them. And I'm like, stop. And it was too late. And he's died too. Shit happens on this planet and none of it's good.
Oh, Lord.
You can find resources. You can find old tech. You can repurpose things. The amount of creativity that's gone into just what's here is insane. And the more I kept playing it, the more I was like, this is a one-man show.
Yeah, it's always impressive when it's a solo dev that does something just so ambitious.
What the fuck? I had such an insane amount of time just spent poking around to get into the weeds to see what they had hidden around for you to find. And there was so much. And I'm just like, why is that even? Like, there was one who was mad they didn't have a bracelet. Like, all the other ones had made a bracelet. And this one didn't have any leaves to make a bracelet. And he wouldn't do anything. And I'm like, the other one at least had an excuse that his nuts were getting sunburned. What is wrong with you?
Well, are the nuts worth $24.99?
I can't believe that this game is only $25 and made by one person. I really can't. I would say that there are a couple of issues with, like, I wish you could zoom out a little more. You can zoom in pretty far, which is hilarious, but especially when their butts are showing. But you cannot zoom out very far. And when you're trying to, like, look around and get an idea of where there might be resources, that's a pain in the ass. And I'd like to see that fixed. But otherwise, just, like, there's just little small quality of life things. And I don't know, other than adding more things for the clones of the bitch about. My nuts are itchy. Well, then, I don't know.
Scratch them.
Fuck them, scratch them.
I don't know what else I could possibly cram into this. And yet, I'm so excited to see what the future of this game actually is. Because if I'm not mistaken, it's still in early access. It left earliest access, but I think it's still in early access.
Yeah, Steam early access.
So it's got time. And I cannot wait to see what happens with it. I'm here for all of it.
You know what I'm here for? I'm here for the fact that No Time just gifted Carnage a sub. What do you think of that, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Purnell.
Fucking yeah!
Hell yeah!
I love when Purnell drops by, right, Purnell?
Fucking yeah!
Hell yeah!
Fucking yeah!
Yeah!
Fucking yeah!
Fucking yeah!
Terrible.
Fucking yeah!
I have too much fun with that. All right, next game to talk about is called Jessica, developed by Tri-Tree Games. Oh my god, Tri-Tree. Words Games, published by Assemble Entertainment, released August 25th on Steam for $12.49. Jessica committed suicide, and it's up to you to find out why she did what she did by prying into her digital past. What at first seems to be a job like any other quickly develops into a dark drama with twists and turns. Cole, tell us about Jessica.
This game is dark as fuck. And
like
you
90% of the games you play.
I mean, I have a preference. And that's okay. I think this one, though, the game prefaces itself. I've said that word a lot tonight.
Yes.
But it like...
That's the word of the night.
It is. It pre-warns you. It's like, bitch, this game is going to have some harsh topics. We're going to talk about rape. We're going to talk about suicide. We're going to talk about hate speech. And I'm like, okay, I've been warned. And yet... nothing prepares you for the first time this little blonde-haired, blue-eyed German chick burst out the N-word. Like, I was streaming, and I went, I think I need to delete the VOD. I was spooked. I was incredibly uncomfortable. So we're going to back up a little bit. With that out in the air, we're going to back up a little bit and say that you are also named Jessica, and you have been hired to work with this company who is contracted by grieving families to uncover the digital footprints of their loved ones so that they can kind of get a little bit of closure. Seems like a horrible invasion of privacy, but sometimes I can kind of understand why you would want this to be done. And in this case, you are approached. I say approached. None of this happens outside of the realm of a computer screen. You're literally in a cafe on a laptop, and all this happens in like apps and email and things like that. But you are hired with the purpose of diving into Jessica's online life. And we have very little information, but what we know is an IP address to a website where she hosted a vlog. And we have her username and we have her password. And from that point on, it is up to us to type search terms into a decryptor tool. When something on the website hits one of those tags, it will give you either an image or a video, or like maybe a news article or something like that, that you can read through or watch. These will give you more hints so that you can come up with more search terms to dig through. So like, for example, in one point, she's telling you about her father taking her to a farm and getting a Labrador for her. And she tells you the dog's name is... This is where I got really messed up, because the girl's German and she pronounces it Valdi. And I was like desperately typing V-A-L-D-I into the search. I was like, it's the dog's name. I don't get it. Why isn't it coming up? It's Waldy with a W.
Baldy?
And I was like, what? Or should I say, what? Because I was not going to guess that ever, and I had to Google it. I think at one point it come up, I found like the dog's vet bill. And I was like, holy fuck, that's how you spell it. And I was so confused. I was like, that is not what she was saying. I could guarantee you that. There were several instances where the actress's English accent, or where she's German, it was just so thick and it was really kind of hard to understand. You can turn on English subtitles, and I definitely recommend it. Makes life a lot easier. But I do want to point out that they've done something a little odd with the subtitles, in that even when you turn them on, they're not default on. So on the video, you will still need to hover over like the little web browser looking icon to turn the subtitles on for the video. That if I had done that and known to do that, I probably wouldn't have struggled so long with the dog's name. Because once I found the subtitles, I was like, well, son of a bitch. But again, as I mentioned before, she throws out an unapologetic N-word. And because this girl's just like, she dives off the deep end very quickly. There's even an achievement called That Escalated Quickly when you uncover one of the videos. And I was absolutely terrified. Like, it gives you a notepad app that you can bring up to like type your clues into. It's all very much like using a normal computer. And so I was just like typing the clues and the words that I thought she was saying that would have some kind of search value. And so I'm like typing away, like, okay, there's this clue, there's that clue, trying to piece together the story. And then she says the N word, and I'm like, something tells me that's going to be a search term, and you cannot pay me enough to use it. And I even put, because I was streaming it, I put on the notes that I had on the screen, I refuse to type this into the decryptor. And I didn't do it. And I have 5 locked files even after I beat the game. And I was like, don't care what unlocks them. Not figuring it out. I'm pretty sure I can guess what it is, and I don't care what's in them.
Yeah.
If you're okay knowing the type of story that's going to be told here, then, you know, it's fine. It could at times be worded or handled a little better in the way that the other characters react when you tell the story back to them. And also in the dialogue options you get in the chatting app, particularly like when you're talking to her father or when you're talking to your friends about what she has said. There's a couple of times where I've just looked at the options and gone, none of these are what I would say. I don't want to say any of this shit. But you have to choose something to move the story along. And so you're just like, well, you're the lesser of the three evils. Let's go with this one. I do appreciate that they're willing to like have this many difficult conversations in one game. It does feel a little ham-fisted that all this shit happened to one chick before she's 40. I think it would have went better and maybe even might have been their original intention to have had multiple stories to be to and like cases to go through instead of just having it all be related to the one girl. When I started it, I really expected there to be like extra stories and it was just her and that was it. And I was like, you set me up to like log into all these accounts and I just get this one crazy chick. And that's a little bit of a letdown. I would also say that I didn't realize the ending of the game had happened. And that's an odd place to be in. Like, I kept going through and looking at the files because I had more files to go, but I'd actually seen what was considered the last cutscene. And I was like, I was looking through those other files and I straight up just like said in chat, I was like, I think that I missed the ending. Like, it happened and I just didn't click that it was the end.
Weird.
So it felt a little lackluster and like it kind of just dropped off abruptly when there was more story to go. I think it's okay for what it is, but I think there could have been more. And I think it's kind of telling that I wanted there to be more, even though it was uncomfortable.
No.
And even though it was like the whole time I felt like I was in the wrong. But I still wanted her story, and I wanted to know the whole story, and I don't feel like I got all of it.
Well, 1250 on it. What do you think?
I don't know. That might be too high for a fuck it. Why not? Because, I mean, if you like FMV games, this is definitely one of the better ones. But it does have that just abrupt hit at the end, and you're like, oh, yeah, wait, I guess I beat it. So I'm gonna roll with a try it because it's definitely something that isn't going to appeal to the masses. You need to be prepared for what you're going into because this is some heavy shit in this game.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's shift gears a little bit with Word Sudoku by Palgi, developed and published by Lightwood Games, released September 25th on Xbox One for $7.99. That is right. Lightwood Games came to Xbox One. All my pestering paid off. I take full responsibility for this. It's Sudoku with words. Place letters in the grid according to normal Sudoku rules, and one row or column will spell the word. Cole, what else is there?
Nothing. It's Sudoku.
Cool.
I mean, that sounds kind of horrible to say, but that's the reality of it. It's just Sudoku with words. So, if you know how to play Sudoku... I don't. I had to learn to play this. I've never actually played Sudoku. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why. It's like it just never really hit to me to play it.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
But I love word games, and I was like, words? Give? I want this. So yeah, the whole premise is you have the square and inside the square are more little squares and then rows and you can't have the letter repeating within the square of nine or within a row. And so you use that to basically, use some deductive reasoning to figure out where the letter should go to spell the word. It tells you the word from the start, which is weird to me. I was like, oh, I guess I don't have to guess it.
Well, it doesn't mean that the word is going to be spelled out in the puzzle. So
it does. Well, yes,
not always. I've had a few where it wasn't.
There will always be one row where it's spelled out perfectly.
But no, I could have sworn that there were some that didn't have that.
It is legit in the rules. I checked it. It is in the rules, and it says there will always be one horizontal row where the word is spelled out perfectly. Yeah, and it will always be spelled out within the little nines. Yeah, and you won't have any, it, like, it won't spell it out perfectly, like, oh, you can left to right read it, but it will always be.
No, that's what I mean, left to right read it. That's exactly what I'm
talking
about.
It will do that
about.
in one horizontal row, it will. Yep, I promise you.
Okay.
I promise you.
How many puzzles are in this game?
Fuck, I don't know. Oh. You know, I purposely meant to go look, and I forgot. And I was like, oh, before the show, I need to write it down. And then shit happened, and I didn't have time to
check. I believe it's 300.
It's an insane amount of puzzles.
There's a lot of fucking puzzles in it.
Like, the more I kept going through it, I was like, oh, just one more puzzle, and then I'll go to bed. I'll finish this off, and then I'll go to bed. And then I'm like, shit, it's 5 a.m., and I have to get up in 3 hours. And I have made a mistake. Because it's absolutely just a... addicting to get in there and be like, this is where this letter goes and this is where that letter goes, and then you feel so successful when you get it right, because the puzzles, even the easier ones, are actually pretty tough. Like, if you don't know how to play it and you're learning, you're gonna be like, I feel like a dumbass for about 20 minutes or so, and then it clicks. And then you're on board for it. And you're like, this is great. This is, I know how to make the words and I am smart.
And for the people who might be turned off by the fact that they're words, you can change it to numbers.
You can just play
normal Sudoku if you want.
Yay! Yeah,
I thought that was really impressive, especially given how many puzzles there were. They basically gave you two versions of every fucking puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nuts. That's really impressive. Excuse me, those damn hiccups are still hanging around.
So it's Sudoku. It's a lot of Sudoku. It's $8. What do you think of it?
I give it a buy it easily.
I can agree with that.
I am now a Sudoku fan, and I didn't even know I had it in me.
I am thrilled that Lightwood finally brought a game over to Xbox. I hope everybody goes out and picks this up so that they can bring more games over to Xbox. Mm-hmm. We've talked about them on the show for years now, so it's good to see them finally hitting the green brand.
Yes.
So pick it up, Aki.
She's already gone to go buy it.
Obviously.
No comment.
Are you playing it now?
No, I'm not.
Are you buying it now?
No comment.
Oh, man. No time. Subbing with Prime for the 29th month. Pernell, what do you think of that?
Fucking yeah!
I know. Really? I mean, seriously?
Fucking yeah!
I know. That's crazy. Should we thank No Time?
Fucking yeah!
Eh.
No Time, thank you so much. You are such an awesome supporter of the show. Many hearts your way and wet pancakes. Next game to talk about is called Breakpoint, developed by Studio Anesthesia or Aesthesia fucking names this week. Published by the Quantum Astrophysicists Guild. Again, the names this week. Released September 24th on Switch and Steam for $4.99. Breakpoint is a twin-stick slasher where your weapons explode. Break through the swarm to claim your spot on the online leaderboard. Cole, tell us about it.
So, this is a pretty simple game. I'm assuming this is what Geometry Wars was like. I didn't ever play Geometry Wars.
Carnage is going to scream in chat in about 4 seconds. Yeah, they're on, right on cue.
I didn't ever play it. So, but I do like twin sticks. And so I was like, well, give it here. I'll give this a whirl. The downside is that it's on Switch. And I am allergic to our Switch. I'm
telling you, use the Pro Controller. It's just like playing on Xbox.
The insult to injury was I asked number one to redeem the code, and she was like, okay. And then it didn't dawn on me. She wouldn't put it on my account on the big Switch. She put it on her account on the Switch Lite. She punked me. And then she hands it to me. It's like, here, play this. And I'm like, oh my God, my hands are so cramped up and I can't control anything and I want to cry.
You want to know why I want to cry? Because Root Beer just subbed for the 17th month.
Fucking yeah!
That's a lot of subs tonight. Thank you so much, everybody. Root Beer, many, many thanks. Right, Pernell?
Fucking yeah!
That's right, Pernell.
So yeah, I was very, very cramped up on the Switch Lite, and I was very sad about this. But I did learn something about the game out of necessity. When you start playing it out of the box, first off, it has screen shake, and that's gross. And second off, your attack button, your left thumbstick controls your movement, but your right thumbstick controls your direction as if you were using it like a twin stick. However, you still have to pull either the trigger and the bumper for your attack, or you have to use A and B. Either one will work. That's all well and good, but for some reason, because it wasn't actually attacking with the right thumbstick, I couldn't make it work right to feel like a twin stick. And it just didn't hit the same way. So when I went into the controls, it actually had an option to remove the aim from the right thumbstick and attach it to the left thumbstick along with your movement. And for some odd reason, I found that to be a far better setup. And so I was able to focus using my left thumb to actually move around and aim, and then using just the left and the right bumper and the right trigger to actually do attack or in a charge attack. And it didn't take me but like one game at that point to smash number one scores out of the water. And I was like, learn from the master, kid. It's a very simple game. You're a little triangle, and you can pick up weapons. The broadsword is absolutely the best. Don't at me. Actually, at me. Fuck you. The broadsword's the best. It's the fastest. And you just get swarmed by little triangles and other shapes that are neon floating in a blue abyss, and you just get to whack at them and get as much points as you can. It's incredibly simple. It's an arcade mode. There's no other extra modes. It just is what it is. And I'm not mad at any of it, except for the fact that I played it on the Switch and I wish I had played it on Steam instead.
Or maybe they could bring it to Xbox?
Or if they could bring it to Xbox, and that would be the penultimate experience.
And PlayStation. Bring it to both.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let everyone play it.
Fine.
So $5, what do you say?
Yeah, fine. Why not? Pick it up. Play it. It's a good time. It's not cool. It's not a lot of game, but what's there is fun. It's worth it.
All right. Next game is called Mars Power Industries Deluxe, developed and published by 7A Games, released September 18th on Xbox One for $3.99. Mysterious puzzle inspired by 2001 Space Odyssey. Manage resources, solve challenging puzzles, and uncover what lies beneath the surface. Year after year, strange happenings plague our tiny colony. Darkness devours Mars. Your job as an electrician, bring light where the darkness reigns. Cole, tell us about Mars Power Industries Deluxe.
So this game, initially, I thought I was having an issue with it and that I couldn't get it to play. And when I say that, I mean, I spent 3 days hammering the A button on the jump screen on the start screen, and it just wouldn't go. And I don't know what happened, but when I turned it on the fourth day, it worked. And I was like, well, then that's fine. I don't know if there was an update. I don't know if I broke it. I know oftentimes I will stream the console to my computer so that I can face forward and still see both my monitors and not have to turn toward the TV. It worked. It didn't work when I did that. Didn't work when I didn't do that. Didn't work when I put the controller into the computer to the Xbox. Didn't care. It just didn't want to work. And then one day it decided to work. I don't know what happened.
Weird.
But it worked. And so I was able to play it from there on out. So hopefully nobody else has that issue. But if you do, you can't say I didn't tell you so. at that point, once you actually get into the game, this is a puzzle game where you have a little square of what looks like red clay, Marsy-like earth. Dirt. Not earth. If you're on earth, it's earth. If you're on Mars, it's dirt. But you have a little square patch where you're puzzled at. And it's basically like a hidden grid, if you will. And then you will have a like an electrical node. And there are crystals in the world coming up out of the dirt that are electrically charged. You need to connect those crystals to a node to power it up. Pretty easy. Right? Mm-hmm. You have a set amount of pieces that you can do this puzzle with. And these pieces have set layouts and they drop in set orders. So you have no control over what order you are picking them up in. You have no control over, you can't rotate them. They are what they are. They're there. Pick them up as it gives it to you and you put them down and hope for the best. So that's where the actual struggle comes in with the game and actually solving the puzzles is trying to place the pieces as they're giving to you. There will be additional issues that you may run into. For example, water is horribly problematic. And if you have water nodes under your electrical nodes instead of having the electric crystals, you're not going to get any power. And that sucks. So you have to, in some levels, you have to divert the water away from the electrical nodes in order to power those up. And then you have to provide power and water to certain areas. And it just gradually gets more and more complicated and throws in these extra challenges. You get things that can move nodes and move crystals, and it gets fucking hard. Each puzzle signifies a year on the planet. So when you beat it, the first puzzle, then you go into year two, and that's technically your second puzzle, so on and so forth. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I am somewhere around year 62, 63.
Damn.
And there's an achievement for getting halfway through the game, and I'm not there.
Damn.
Or if I am, it's glitched. But I have put some fucking time into this, and these are some fucking hard challenges, some crazy puzzles, and I'm not getting anywhere.
Well, it sounds like it's pretty good. So $4, what do you say?
For $4, it seems so simple, but there's actually a lot of puzzles and a lot of game there. And yeah, if it weren't so good enough to justify a buy it, I'd say it's at least a fuck it, why not? But it holds up enough to be a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah. It's all hard, right, though.
Well, final game to talk about tonight. We are going SML After Dark.
Oh, no.
Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry, developed by Crazy Bunch, published by Assemble Entertainment, released September 15th on Xbox One for $39.99. Hey, ladies, I'm back in business. My new adventure, Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry, takes me, whatever the route or twist of fate, from the end of the 80s directly into the 21st century, and wow, how the world has changed. I'm all set to date my way across the modern world. Aki, tell us about this one.
Cole, I know your feelings. I understand. The game is a point and click, so it's not too difficult. God, where do I start with this? Jesus Christ.
Start at the beginning.
Let's just point out that I refused a point and click game.
Let's just say.
I don't think I even offered this one to you, Cole. I think I went straight to Aki with this
one. No, you did. And I was like,
no. Did I offer it to you? I don't even remember.
And I was like, no.
I don't blame you. This definitely is not a game you would have liked. You play as Larry, a schmuck, a putzy schmuck at that. God, he is a horn dog and not even a good one. His pickup lines are, Jesus Christ. Just, they're bad.
He's just, he's one of the worst people imaginable.
Yeah. Fuck.
So tell us about the gameplay.
It's a point and click. Everything is really easy to find. The game has this nice little feature where you can hold in on the right stick, I believe it is, and it just highlights all the things you can interact with. Whether there's stuff you can pick up or people to talk to, doesn't matter. Which is really useful, because in some point-and-click games, finding the crap is kind of difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it really fucking easy. You can even use, I believe it was the bumpers, to actually move around on to each of the things, so you don't even have to move the cursor around with the thumbsticks. So it even has lazy mode, which was nice. Hey, I like lazy shit. What can I say?
Hey, I'm loving what I'm hearing so far. I used to love the Leisure Suit Larry games when I was a kid. Yes, I know I shouldn't have been playing them back then.
That explains so much about you, Jeff.
Yeah, I know it does. I haven't played them in a while. The last one I remember playing, it wasn't even a... I don't even know if they still consider it canon or not, but it was the original Xbox game that was on original Xbox and PS2. Magna Cum Laude, I think it was called.
Oh god, that thing, yeah. I remember hearing about that. Yeah,
But I just love that they kept how ridiculously horn-doggy and stupid Larry is. Like, he hasn't changed a bit for better or for worse. And now in the modern day, he doesn't fit in at all.
Except for somehow he still fucking does. Because he almost gets laid like 5 times and he just gets interrupted. All I'm thinking is, why has no one just shot him in the fucking face? Like, that's what the whole game is. First things first, he wakes up in some underground factory, which I believe is where he's been being cloned all this time and offed. Because anytime you die in the game, you see a factory making a new version of him, basically. And the factory for that is like the old pixel graphics from the like very original games. And later on, you go back into this area and you get a note that's like, oh, we've locked him away for all these years. We cannot let him escape. But they don't say it's Larry. But when you open up a secret area, it kind of looks like the factory where you keep being remade. Okay, so he gets out of this area and he's right in front of Lefty's Bar, apparently where all the previous games you were at. And Lefty's like, holy shit, you haven't aged a day. And you're like, well, it's only been a day. I fell asleep last night and I'm back, baby. And yeah, no, no, it's been a lot longer than that. And you end up finding a iPhone, basically. They call it a P-phone, a Pi-phone. They make fun of everything. They just come up with these weird names for everything. But you find that, and it's this special new one, and BJ is the maker of it, or Bill Jobs. And his building is shaped like a dick and has vaginas plastered all over it.
Nice.
Yeah. So you bring the phone back to him and you get another phone, but his assistant is a woman named Faithless. And she's like, well, I'll go on get you the fuck off and go away. She's like, well, if you get 90 points on Timber or something like that, I'll go on a date with you. And it's basically Tinder. You just meet up and fuck, basically. So then he's like, okay, well, this is now my quest in life. I'm going to get 90 points on this by fucking my way through the entire country. And that doesn't work, because he's disgusting. Big fucking shocker there. But he does get matches somehow, because he is one ugly motherfucker. they even show the picture that they take, which is obviously clearly different from what you actually see on screen. And oh my god, is he ugly? Whew. Like, I would say he fell from the ugly tree and hit every branch, but the ugly tree looks better. Whew. And he gets dates. Somehow.
So what's the goal of the game? Just date your way and get a date with this girl at the company?
Yeah, pretty much. There's a bigger plot to it, but that's his story. The story going around this is Bill Jobs and Faithless are both evil assholes, and they seem to be, well, they have officially already taken over all of the city you're in. They own all of it, except for apparently Lefty's Bar. And their Pi phone is actually supposed to keep track of all the information in the world and control people's minds and blah, blah, blah. And
the evil overlord. Cool.
Yeah. And he, while trying to get a date with her, ends up fucking up their plans constantly, even getting him blown up and her killed. So it's fantastic. Like one of the dates is with a lawyer who used to work for Prune, which is the business, BJ's business. And now she's constantly just trying to stick it to him because he's a piece of shit and she doesn't trust the company and everything. So you wreck their company by getting a date with the lawyer so you can get points to date Faith.
Nice.
You also end up dating a gay guy, not realizing that you're on a date with a gay guy because he thinks you're bi, because when you were putting together your Timber profile, the guys that put it together said, well, we'll just put you as bisexual because that'll get you lots of dates.
Oh, no.
And Larry's like, hell yeah, whatever. Because he doesn't know what the fucking term means somehow.
No.
That term did exist back then, but he ends up going on a date with a gay guy. And for the longest time, he just thinks they're trying to be special buddies. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, we're best friends. It's fine. And later on, he's like, I'm not gay. And he, God, if it wasn't for the fact that he was straight, I'd totally think he was gay with all them very, very bad pickup lines.
No Time in Chat seems to have really enjoyed the game. It seems like you didn't enjoy it as much.
It was funny, but just Larry is just the biggest sack of shit.
He's supposed to be. That is the point.
I know, but God damn.
Yeah, you were absolutely hitting the nail on the head with what Larry is supposed to be. So mission accomplished.
There is one funny part, one part of the game that I really liked. I can't say it was funny because it actually wasn't. Larry blows himself up, literally. And while unconscious, it goes back to the old, I think, 16-bit or 8-bit, one or the other, whatever it was, games. And you play just through this really small short sequence. But in it, he meets the president. Guess what president?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Mr. Hansy himself. And the entire time, all your answers are even more perverse than everything he's been saying throughout the rest of the game. Like, three of your options are grab her by the tits, grab her by the ass, or grab her by the pussy.
Wow.
And you can only choose one of those three. And then when you choose it, instead of saying that and all the other things that you choose throughout the entire conversation, he instead starts talking about how women should be treated well. And I was like, this is fantastic. This is the opposite of what everything else in this game is. And I love it. Because he's basically telling Mr. Hansy himself to fuck off. I'm like, yes.
And oh my God.
They even get the, this is all fake news in there. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, $40 on this one. I got to have a verdict. What do you think of it?
I don't think it's worth $40. I say if you like pervy humor and you like those games, then on sale, totally. Might as well get it. It's not hard. It's pretty straightforward. It's a decent game.
Is it pervy enough to warrant the price?
Probably. Yeah.
Because that's what we wanted. This is SML After Dark. We want to know, is this After Dark enough?
There is no nudity, sadly. They're still keeping with the no nudity, but it gets damn close. So damn close. You do watch two women make out. So there's that. While topless, you just don't get to see anything, sadly. And sorry, they are. Aki. Yeah, I mean, lots of the girls, the way they're drawn in this are very cartoony, but they are fairly pretty. So I'm not against that. So
so it seems like a wait for a sale, but jump on it then, maybe?
Yeah. If you can get it on sale, totally worth it, I think. Cool. Unless you absolutely hate this kind of stuff like Cole, in which case, burn it with fire. Because Cole would not enjoy this game at all.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, it's bad.
At least I had the good sense to know that going in and just avoid it.
Yeah. I legit honestly don't remember offering you the game. I could have sworn I just went right to...
I think you said it jokingly, and I was like, yeah, get the fuck out of here with that.
Probably that.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever, like, realistically expected you to go for that one.
Yeah, it was pretty much that kind of scenario.
Yeah, see, I had never played any of these before.
You were probably on Ambien. It's fine.
It's okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'd never played one of these. I always knew he was supposed to be trying to constantly get tail, but I didn't. That was like, was as far as I knew about the game. He's just
the worst person.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those where it's kind of meant to be played satirically, but satire it's a tough beast to tame, and you either do it well or you don't, and I always felt like these games didn't do it well.
There are parts where it does it well in this game. There are some parts not enough
to justify a $40 price tag.
Yeah. I mean, lots of times he is very straight-laced about just being a pervert, but sometimes it's just he's just laughably stupid with his perversion and without it. And those times I like those parts. But some of the times he's just a pervert, but it's not particularly funny. And it's just like, God, shut up.
I think No Time says it best in chat. It knows what it is.
Yeah.
So that is true.
If you're good with what that is, jump on it. If not, it's not for you.
Yep.
So that is it for this episode. We're going to wrap this up with some music. Aki, thanks for being here.
Yep.
We're going to have a hell of a next couple of few episodes. Cole, buckle up. Are you ready for these?
No.
We got a bunch of interviews coming up. It's going to be good. So keep an eye on our Twitter and keep an eye on our YouTube, and we will see you next episode. Does anyone have any final words?
Wet pancakes. I would usually say something perverse, but not after Larry.
Should we give Purnell final words?
Fucking yeah!